Last year, Adam and I and a few hundred friends of DeSoto gathered in the Masonic Lodge inside a cemetery in the heart of Hollywood. Were we there to practice some dark rite? Some sinister ritual designed to bring deceased Star Trek actors back to the plane of the living? To bring an unholy horde of undead nerd celebrities to Earth to consume the brains of the living? No, we were just doing our live show of the Share Your Embarrassment Tour. It's our review of Star Trek V, and we filmed it. We just wanted to let you know to get ready for that live stream announcement coming next week. If you're a Max Fun member and you support our shows, you'll get access to discounted tickets from membership at MaximumFun.org. So, good time to make sure those emails are delivering properly to your inbox. Either way, we'll be announcing ticket links soon here and on our mailing list that you can sign up for at podshop.biz. The Share Your Embarrassment Tour is coming to your living room for one last stop, and you're not going to want to miss it.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm your host, Adam Pranica.
I'm your other host, Ben Harrison.
Ben, we are back where we belong, far, far away from each other, with an entire country in between.
Yeah, our shame has a good buffer zone and a little bit of Skype lag.
We got some interesting feedback about those episodes. The feedback's been positive, but people definitely can notice the difference when we're together.
It sounded real different to me. I don't know why. I think that maybe we were like trying to keep our voices down so our dorkery didn't transmit into other parts of the house so much.
Yeah, but you don't want to wake up your parents-in-law with Star Trek convo, that's for sure.
No. Well, I have a bit of business I wanted to discuss with you.
Oh, really? This is not something you want to take offline.
No, I think that this is something our listeners will want to hear. We have heard tell that if our iTunes review mark gets up over the 500 mark, we can start using the MaximumFun.org Topatico Store t-shirt printing service, which would enable us to create the first ever Greatest Generation t-shirt.
You're going to put that thing on and parade around like one of them?
Oh, man.
I'm really excited about that. And, I mean, last time I looked, we were well past 350 reviews.
As of recording, we have 370. So we need only 130 more reviews to reach the threshold of t-shirts.
So here's what I'm going to propose, and you tell me if you like this idea.
Okay. Can I tell you if I don't like this idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
My idea is this. When we cross the 500 iTunes review line, we are going to go look into our Gmail, and people who have sent emails to drunkshimodaplscontest@gmail.com with a screenshot of the review that they left. And if you've already left a review, you can go back and screenshot your review. Just show us the review you left. We're going to put all those 5-star reviews in some kind of randomizer and pick. I think maybe we'll do this. We'll do one random selection and one that we think is the funniest.
Okay.
And we'll give out 2 free t-shirts. So if you want to get a free Greatest Gen West Hot American Summer t-shirt, you can either get it by just writing a review and being selected lottery style at random, or through the meritocracy, writing the funniest review. And there's already some pretty fucking hilarious reviews on there. So you're going to have to come with your A game if you want that meritocracy t-shirt.
Well, it sounds like, from what I'm hearing, it's a couple of things. A, we've decided on a t-shirt idea, first of all. And that first t-shirt is West Hot American Summer.
Yeah.
And B, this is another opportunity for us to prove that we can be trusted by our listenership.
Oh, you mean after the big veto poll debacle?
Right. So I'm asking you, Ben, is this actually going to happen?
I guarantee this is going to happen.
Well, this sounds great. I'm really excited to have a t-shirt out into the world. Everyone, please, review up the pod, get us over 500, and then we'll leave you alone about it.
Yeah, take a screenshot that says that shows your review, like, physically on iTunes. It has to, like, you know, resolve on the page. Take a screenshot of that. Send it to drunkshimodaplusscontest@gmail.com.
This is becoming a speech.
You're the captain, sir. You're entitled.
Not entitled to ramble on about something everyone knows.
All right, well, with that bit of business attended to, let's turn our attention towards this atrocity of an episode. What we have is Season 2, Episode 19, Manhunt, or, as I'm calling it, Betazoids in Heat. Ben, this starts a run of episodes, I think, that we can describe as the We Shouldn't Even Be Here episodes. You know that scene in an action movie where like, the hero has the realization that, like,
we shouldn't even be up here!
Yeah.
This is that moment for me in Season 2.
Really? Because I feel like that was, like, two or three episodes ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sort of late to the party when it comes to that realization. But
yeah, a little slow on the uptake, Adam.
It's in full bloom right now.
Got a bit of a pack-led level sense of what's going on around you?
These episodes make me sad. These episodes don't make me go.
We look for episodes toward the middle and end of Season 3. Episodes to make us happy. So this episode starts with them beaming over some delegates. Once again, the Enterprise is Ubering delegates to a fucking conference in Pacifica. I feel like Pacifica is like the theater district of the Federation. Like every fucking taxi ride they pick up is heading there.
Yeah, this isn't the first reference to Pacifica. I think it's definitely like cemented its reputation as the Boca Raton Howard Johnson's Conference Room of Planets.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they talk about the Pacifica Conference as though it's like a persistent thing, the way like Congress is referred to.
Have we ever seen it, though?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. The boy, that reveal is going to be fantastic, right?
Yeah. So these are... These are aliens that I find very memorable, mainly for how shitty they are. The idea is that they're like in suspension, but the design of the aliens is really bad, and it's hard to tell what they're supposed to be. Like, I think that when their eyes are fully open, it's a little more clear because you can kind of see that their eyes, but when their eyes are droopy because they're in suspension, it's like, is that a gill or is that like a... Is that just a different orifice? And then, like, where
right.
the human actors inside of them would have eyes is, like, the back of a Camaro, but it, like, was in a fender bender, and the guy tried to fix it with duct tape. Like, it's just a real hot mess.
And, I feel like we could riff on how they look for a while. To me, they look like... I was recently in a fish market in Tangier. I know that makes me sound worldly and interesting, but I'm neither of those things. And this fish market had like the biggest, strangest looking fish I've ever seen.
Really?
Like with the giant eyes.
Yeah.
And these aliens look like those fish if they could stand up.
Yeah, and they got like noodly appendages coming off of their mouths, and they've got they've got resting duck face to make the packlids envious.
Their costume looks like it was inspired by Daniel's Halloween costume in The Karate Kid when he dresses in the shower. It's pretty great.
Yeah. They get a lot of jokes in this episode out of a now running gag in the series of Worf's opinion is the opposite of everyone's.
Contrarian Worf.
Yeah, in much the same comedic tone as Worf scarfing down the scrambled eggs that Riker made him.
Right.
Worf is standing there just breathtaking at how beautiful these aliens are.
What a handsome race.
And they've been beamed up with a bucket full of chum, which is going to pay off with a big comedic moment later on in the episode. So the Enterprise pulls the chocks out of its wheels and fires up the engine and starts to pull out when they get a urgent message that another emissary is coming aboard. And it's like a shuttlecraft that's coming in, and they get this shuttle pilot on screen, and he's got like about a half of a line before Loxana Troi kind of piles into frame, almost knowing how unwelcome she is on my television screen.
Please don't do this to me.
She starts the lap sitting right away.
Yeah, and so she's been like given Federation clearance as she's like the ambassador of Betazet, right?
Yeah, she was recently given a field promotion to full ambassador.
Yeah, good for her. And so like she beams aboard, and this is like maybe the most frustrating thing about this episode to me. Like, I guess it's frustrating that they bring this character back who is explicitly just egregiously irritating. But what's so much more frustrating is that every single joke that they try and do with this character is a fucking warmed over version of a joke in the last episode that she was in. It's like, oh, she has a huge, tall manservant. Oh, her suitcase is super heavy and she's going to try and get Picard to carry it.
Yeah, it's kind of a retread.
Yeah, she's saying that Picard is thinking dirty things about her out loud. How embarrassing for Picard!
Do you think it's weird at all that, like, you know, Gene Roddenberry's still alive at this point?
Yeah.
And
this is his wife.
And Majel Barrett, yeah, is his wife. And, like, sun's out, boobs out for Majel Barrett. Like, like she's put in some pretty revealing costuming. She's made to drape herself all over a couple of actors.
Yeah.
Kind of fascinating choice here.
Yeah. Well, you know, not everybody practices their relationship the same way. And
I'm not judging.
From what I understand, Gene Roddenberry was a pretty forward-thinking dude. Possibly he had some pretty groovy practices, W/R/T monogamy.
Oh boy, that's some theorizing that you wouldn't get on the official Star Trek podcast.
That's how certainly. You can tell we're not in the pocket of Big Rod and Barry.
Yeah, definitely out of the pocket of Big Rod.
You know, we should also thank everybody that's been tweeting at Star Trek Room. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that has got to be as annoying as hell to them, really. Yeah. Like, good job, guys.
I was looking at it all day today because like 8 or 10 people tweeted at them.
Because they're looking for another job.
Yeah, and they have not replied to anybody as far as I can tell. But they and the most recent tweet was from like 2 weeks ago, and it's just a picture of some donuts.
So real party in the writers' room over there.
Yeah.
Hope you're having a great time, guys.
I feel like whoever the showrunner is came in and was like, "All right, we're thinking the first episode is set back in time in 1930s San Francisco."
If we were in that room, we'd just kick our feet up on the desk and we were like, "What if an alien had a dick for a nose?" Just we are like the embodiment of an HR violation over there. How quickly could we get kicked off the lot?
Man, I feel like pretty quickly.
It is a guiding principle of a Starfleet base. Now, if you can't find it within yourself to stand up, tell the truth, you don't deserve to wear that uniform.
This was the first episode where I noticed that the Betazoids wear very dark contacts. And if this seemed as incredibly obvious to you, then I apologize. But it may just be that Majel Barrett's contacts are much larger than Marina Sirtis's.
Yeah, I think that it's because, also Marina Sirtis.
Because Loxana Troi looks like she belongs in Event Horizon.
This place is a tomb.
Like, her eyes are so black. Yeah. They're kind of terrifying.
Or as like the bassist in Limp Bizkit.
Yeah. Wes Borland. Oh, God. How did I know that?
I don't know. A guy that I developed immense respect for after he did an interview where he said he wouldn't listen to Limp Bizkit if he wasn't in the band.
Yeah, that's some cred. So it becomes clear that the A storyline at this point is Loxana is in a form of Betazoid menopause that resembles like a cat in heat. She is down to find a partner, and she's got her eyes set on Picard.
Yeah, I mean, and that's like to the extent that you could say this episode has a storyline. Because I feel
pretty
like,
generous, huh?
I feel like it doesn't even really.
If you took out all the retreads of the first Loxana Troi episode, you'd have very little left.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be like if you took out all of the things in Home Alone 2 that were beat for beat copies of Home Alone 1, yeah. You'd just be like, there's not really a movie here. Like,
yeah, she keeps doing that thing to Picard where she's like,
Jean-Luc, what naughty thoughts!
Like, she does that 5 times in this episode.
Right. And it's not even funny the first time.
Here's the thing, though. Are we supposed to believe that that's the truth?
Because
if we proceed from that premise, then Picard is truly into her big time, like as a sex object.
Right. But I think that it raises big questions either way, because she keeps saying that shit, and then she like tricks him into going to dinner with her. He passes a huge bottle of blue shit to Mr. Hom, who chugs it in one go. and then Picard is like desperate to get out of her sex gambit at dinner and pulls a classic, like, call me when I'm on this date with this guy, you know, like Tinder date maneuver.
Yeah, he kind of cock blocks himself.
Yeah, he like calls Data in.
Commander, if your duties permit, why don't you join us for dessert?
Picard just keeps throwing revs into the Data boring story engine, which is the only known perpetual motion machine in the universe.
Yeah.
And she gets super bored. And so if she's actually reading his thoughts, she would know that this is him trying to get out of hanging with her, right?
Right, right.
And at this point, he thinks that she can read his thoughts. So
yeah.
I don't understand how he could come up with a plan like this and then act on it, knowing that she knew what motivated it.
Right, and the answer that I came up with is that her power is only set to detect Torny. like it can't detect bullshit or any right. other thing on the emotional spectrum.
So they sort of dance around this by saying that she's hitting the she's having the change, and in Betazoid biology that means she wants that surfboard as bad as she's ever wanted it before, and like basically doesn't care who gives it to her. As long as she gets it. And that has impeded her ability to read minds dramatically. But it's like, it's unclear how dramatically, because she's theoretically just got a window into anybody's mind that she wants, right?
It would seem that way. But like, when you have options as fertile as that for a character, it's really strange to me why there's so much plot retread to this episode.
Right.
Like, you could really take that anywhere, and they just copy and paste from that first Loxana episode.
Yeah, I mean,
like you know what? It's called character development. Like, you don't just repeat. You build off of that character.
And when the last two episodes have been obviously season one scripts.
Yeah.
Like, this one is obviously a season one script that was actually also in season one. So Picard convenes a big meeting, and it's decided that the best way to deal with this Loxana wanting to fuck his brains out situation is go hide, essentially. And so for the rest of the episode, he is doing Dixon Hill on the holodeck, and the bridge crew is like covering for him, saying he's detained on urgent shifts business whenever Loxana asks about him.
This was the moment that filled me with the most regret about using the veto, because I didn't know this was a combo episode of Dixon Hill and Loxana Troi. It was, this moment really made me feel bad.
Right. It's like if we weren't being egregious enough with the copy pasting. Holy mackerel.
Yeah. Great. Dixon Hill. Woohoo.
My love is a fever. Long and chill for that which longer nurseth the disease. You'll have to go again.
Picard's in the holodeck and he's trying to chill out. But all of the Dixon Hill stories involve Dixon Hill attempting to be murdered.
Right.
So there's a pretty funny scene where he's at his desk and he's like, all right, start the program. And a guy comes in and he's like, Dixon Hill, you fucking asshole. And he pulls out a pistol and, yeah. And Picard jumps behind his desk and he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, I'm in here for chill hangs. Why don't we switch to a different Dixon Hill storyline? And he does this like three times, and each time it's a guy basically brandishing a larger weapon to shoot at him. That part was pretty funny to me.
Yeah, I mean, there was some writer asked to do a little bit of punch up on that beat who just is, it's like a note inside of a fortune cookie that says, help, I'm trapped in a fortune cookie factory.
Right.
You know?
I feel like if Picard had let that go, like, the guy's weapons would have just turned into bazookas and, like, jeep-mounted howitzers and, like, nuclear submarines.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of getting out of hand. So...
yeah, Gene Hackman shows up.
Eventually, Loxana tracks him down.
Yeah. And
and busts into their program.
And this is the bar that Dixon Hill hangs at.
It's got all the mise-en-scene that you'd expect. You got your Glenn Miller music. You got your slowly spinning fans. You got your dusty room.
Wait, does she say that she wants to be Riker's husband?
She does. I guess we could go over that part.
I guess so.
So before Loxana tracks them down in the holodeck, she decides to marry Riker for some reason. Like, she just barges onto the bridge.
Listen, Adam, we could talk about a lot of things that happen in this episode. I don't feel like the plot really, like no one element of this plot leads to another. So it's like, it's almost not worth mentioning. Like, I think the only
people
thing worth...
People don't tune into our show for its plot recap accuracy?
I think maybe they do, but like, this plot is unrecappable. It's so fucking insane.
Yeah.
Like, I think the only thing worth mentioning is that she announces that Riker is going to be her husband, and he gets a real shit-eating grin on his face. Like, he... like the way Frakes plays this is...
It's pretty great.
He really zigs when you expect him to zag. And I think it's one of the reasons that Riker is a great character.
And by zig, you mean he takes out his dick.
So it all comes to a head in the holodeck where Loxana falls in love with the holographic bartender.
This is the most remarkable man. I've never met anyone like him.
Who she's quite taken with because she can't read his mind.
Yeah, I feel like Loxana sees the sexual potential of the holodeck as much as Riker does.
Mm-hmm.
In a moment where I feel like it's game respect game for both Riker and Loxana, that moment.
Yeah. And so they let her be distracted in there. They go thaw out the Antedans, who are really excited about eating their chum. And Pulaski, like, motions, and the camera pulls back, and Worf is standing there and, like, pushes it forward toward them. He flips it open, reaches both hands in as though he's going to start feeding them out of his hands. It is so silly because they just come and, like, push him out of the way and start going to town on it. And it's like, why did he think that that was how it was going to go down? Like, have you ever met an ambassador that wanted to eat out of your hands?
I love that scene so much.
So
it was
ridiculous.
Like, it was SeaWorld and Worf like wanted to feed the dolphins himself. It was great.
I feel like nobody at this point in the shoot was taking anything seriously. And Michael Dorn was like, hey guys, what? Let me just try something in this take. I think it's going to be kind of funny.
Quick note, how about we just do the last take with me making a bowl out of my hands and maybe feeding them like that? All right, Michael. I mean, I can't say we're going to use it, but go ahead.
Go sick, Mike.
God. Yeah. Yeah, total martini shot there.
Yeah.
Yarmouk and Jalad at Tanagra.
When I was growing up, I didn't have anyone to tell me about personal grooming. I had to learn these things on my own. So I'm here to save you some embarrassment and recommend the grooming tools that I use. The products from Manscaped. Now, this is a company that constantly has its mind on your bush. Imagine the meetings they have. Imagine the pictures they have and their PowerPoint presentations. Now imagine your junk looking its best thanks to the Lawnmower 5.0. This thing is the latest Bonch trimming technology with two interchangeable heads, a standard one for taking just a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants.
Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. Every mom I have ever given an Aura Frame to has absolutely loved it. And that includes a lot of moms I know. This is a gift that I have personally given many, many times. And it's great. I can upload photos from my phone the moment I take them. And that means that mom or grandma out there is going to get pictures of their loved ones delivered to their living room. And right now, Aura is having a great sale for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com and use the code SCARVES at checkout to show your support for our show. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to... oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
So it ends in the transporter bay. The Antedans are about to beam down, and Loxana barges in, and she's like, oh, by the way, those guys are assassins, and they're going to Pacifica to kill everybody, which is like an unmotivated, crazy caper that has nothing to do with the rest of the episode. She's like, yeah, no, check their robes. They're packed with explosives that are hard to detect. And Data's like, yep, they sure are. And...
much like Daniel used his own shower costume as a terror device at that party, the Antedans were planning on using their costumes as well.
Yeah. So she foils their plot and bids everybody adieu. She's, you know, learned her lesson or whatever. I don't know. She beams down and, like, mid-beam, accuses Picard of having such naughty thoughts about her. And, yeah, da-da-da-da-da. But...
Wow. Well, we raced through that one, which is about as much as it deserved.
I think, yeah. I mean, I just don't think that there's much to talk about here. It's like this one holds together less than the one that was written during the writer's strike by two of the producers getting yes-no answers from the writer on the phone, you know?
Okay, there's something I want to run by you, and I think it might be a good idea to start something that I'm going to call the Q versus Loxana Troi power rankings. Because I think we both have, some complicated feelings about these characters, and they both had episodes of their own a couple of times now. Do you rank one above the other in terms of general annoyance? Do you feel like Loxana is the female Q?
See, here's the thing. Like, I dislike them for very different reasons. I dislike Q episodes because Q is a deus ex machina. Like, I don't think it's good sci-fi to have something that is so powerful that
it's in God mode.
It might as well be God.
Yeah.
And I don't think I don't like Loxana episodes because they feel like they are there to kill time. And like, this episode is literally about killing time. Like, Picard is killing time the entire time.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. What do we do on this long flight to this place while we're Ubering?
Why so are we supposed to care if Picard doesn't care?
Right.
Yeah, well put.
So I like the idea of having power rankings. I'm not quite sure what scale we can rank them on because they feel like apples and oranges to me.
How about we call it power to destroy an episode?
Well, I think Loxana's got the lead at the moment because...
Yeah, I think so too.
Because I think we can discount the pilot just because... They obviously didn't even know what type of television show they were making at that point.
They had so many questions.
And the only other two Q episodes that we have to reference are Split Decision. You know, one's a turkey and one is Pretty Great.
All right. That makes sense to me. Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
As you were watching this terrible episode, did you find a drunk Shimoda?
Incredible.
Drunk Shimoda!
I think that, like, obviously Mr. Hom is a drunk Shimoda. I think obviously Loxana is always tempting, but Picard got it for me with this gambit of radioing up Data mid-date. I cannot believe that a man as demonstrably wise as Picard would think that would work. And, like, he's very lucky that he got away with it, essentially. Like, if she is a diplomat of the highest rank, he did something incredibly offensive to her. And did it under the impression that she was able to perfectly read his mind. Like, it's insane.
I think if the only information we have is a season and 19 episodes into the second season... If the only information we have is what we know about Picard up to now, I don't think we can rule out that Picard wanted to fuck Loxana on the holodeck and he was just hanging out there waiting to be discovered. Maybe that was the plan all along.
Maybe.
I got a random question. If Mr. Hom rings the bell every time something is eaten, does he have to go into the bedroom too?
Hey, we don't know what Betazoid anatomy looks like.
I'm going to cut that one out.
Why?
So my Shimoda was, I'm not sure if you knew this piece of trivia. One of the Antedans is played by Mick Fleetwood. Did you know that?
I did see that on the bottom of the Wikipedia page.
So let me tell you about Mick Fleetwood as it pertains to this episode. Mick Fleetwood wanted to be in Star Trek. He wanted to be in Star Trek so bad that he was willing to be an Antedan. Willing to be recognized so much that he asked for a very special appearance by Mick Fleetwood credit.
Yeah.
And what they did is they basically covered him in a fish.
Right. They didn't even make him a painstick Klingon.
Yeah, they didn't even give him the test treatment.
Crazy.
I thought that was awesome. Like... Like, I would like all of the vanity of the credit, but none of the vanity of actually having my face being seen. That is a decision that seems so bizarre that it could only be a Shimoda decision.
Good call.
I don't understand it.
I am the cutest of all. There are four lights.
What do we have coming up on the next episode?
The next episode of the show is Season 2, Episode 20, The Emissary. An official mission becomes a personal matter when Worf's former love is sent to the Enterprise to mediate a dispute between Klingons and the Federation.
I don't even know why we're doing these pre-show previews anymore because there's no vetoes in our pocket to use. We're just on an express train to Crapville.
I would not have burned a veto even if I had one because I remember liking this episode.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a Worf-centric episode, which I think is the second time they've ever chosen to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Throw the keys to the episode to Worf.
Put Worf in the driver's seat.
God, anything is going to be better than Manhunt. Need a palate cleanser for this one, for sure. But you know what? Even saying that, I'm not sure it deserves to be on Mount Armus. It wasn't quite that bad, you know? And I can't even articulate why. Like, episodes like Code of Honor are, you just come off feeling insulted.
Right.
I wasn't insulted when I saw this. It just seemed lazy, and it made me sad.
At one point, I was just scratching my head like, is there even a theme in this episode? Like, it's called Manhunt, but, like, that's not the... That doesn't even feel like the main thing that's going on. It feels like time-wasting.
Is there a moral or a message to this one? Probably have to go listen to Mission Log for that.
Yeah.
I wonder what they did with this. Those poor guys had to record 90 minutes on this episode.
Oof. That is rough.
I mean, say what you will about that show, but, I mean, they've got some fortitude.
Yeah.
To give this episode that kind of scrutiny.
Yeah. That's one thing I think we can acknowledge we respect them for.
Well, if you ever want to talk to us, not about this episode, but about any other episode of Next Generation, you can find us on Twitter using hashtag GreatestGen. I'm on there as @CutForTime. Ben is there as @BenjaminR, AHR.
You can find us on Reddit, on the Maximum Fun subreddit, and also the Greatest Gen subreddit. We're also on Facebook. There's a Greatest Generation Facebook group, which I believe you have to join, but I don't think they're particularly picky. And all of that stuff is just super active, and we are tickled pink at how much fun people are having, listening to our show and then sharing other silly things that people have done surrounding the Next Generation. It's a real blast.
We've done absolutely nothing to market our show. Our listeners have done that for us. So yeah. Great job, guys. If you want to support the show, take it on over to MaximumFun.org/donate.
Yeah, and while you're there, I mean, there are a myriad of podcasts that I think you'll really enjoy. You've got your The Adventure Zone, Beef and Dairy Network, Baby Geniuses, Bunker Buddies, The Flophouse, Getting Curious, Judge John Hodgman. I mean, the list just never stops going on and on.
That's not the name of one show either. Those are several shows.
Those are several shows, all of which I think our listeners would really enjoy.
I know I do.
So big thanks to Maximum Fun. Remember our contest. That's drinkshimoda+contests@gmail.com. And we'll get that t-shirt made. And if you win, you get one for free. So...
Yeah, if you've wanted cool. a t-shirt, if you've asked us for a t-shirt and you haven't reviewed us, it's your own fucking fault. Get to reviewing.
Yeah, and if you've already reviewed, take a screenshot now and send it in. Like, there's no penalty for having been early to the party.
Yeah, the only penalty is actually listening to our show.
Sorry. With that, we will be back at you next time with another episode of Star Trek The Next Generation and also whatever this is.
We got this one over with.
Just barely.
Make it so. Make it so.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.